More oversight on outside employment by public officials, better credentialing for service members, and the cost to support flag officers. All those personnel issues came up in the House version of the 2019 Defense Authorization Bill markup last week. Plus, some good news for members of the National Guard. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni has more from his reporter's notebook. He joins me now in studio. Scott, let's talk about this wide-ranging set of issues here. The NDAA adds oversight for public officials doing outside work. What are they trying to accomplish? What's in the bill?
Right. Well, this is an amendment that was added by Representative Speer from California, and she, as you know, is pretty big on a lot of oversight type things. And this really would require the Defense Department to give Congress any sort of outside work that that their officials do. So any sort of outside work that's not government related, they have to report that to Congress. And, you know, I would assume, and now this is just an assumption, that this has to do possibly with, you know, the Trump administration. There's been a couple of issues with people working outside jobs or, you know, having some connections to previous companies that they worked for or may work for when they get out.
What if you're just a GS-12 somewhere and you work nights and weekends at the hardware store to supplement your income?
Right. Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure about that. So I think it's mostly for senior officials, but we'll have to see how they promulgate that once it gets into the final version. And you know, that's no 100% that it's going to be in there. It still has to go through the Senate and all that stuff. So, you know, this is just an amendment that has been added to the House version of the NDAA. So it's only halfway there at this point.
That's right. And just to be clear, this is for all public officials. This is not really a defense issue that she inserted into the NDAA.
This is for defense department officials.
I see. Okay. Yes. So, yeah. Well, sometimes those provisions have a way of spreading over into the civilian side,
right,
through the NDAA.
Yeah. And, you know, it could be a good thing, you know, good way to keep oversight. And, you know, we'll have to see how things go and how they report this thing and if it's a burden or not.
Okay, and you're also saying that in the NDAA there is some oversight on flag officers and the costs to support them. What's going on there?
Right. Well, last year the Congress gave a huge crackdown on flag officers to begin with. So they felt that flag officers...
On the number of them?
The number of flag officers, the number and the staff that they could hold. So they felt that flag officers just, there were too many. They're kind of bloated. They have this staff, you know, four-star generals have, you know, someone with a notepad, someone with a notebook, someone with the, you know, follow them around everywhere. And it was a waste of money, basically. So this is asking for a bunch of reports, basically how much it costs for travel, how much it costs for staff, how much it costs for them to do things, the time it takes for them to do things, all that kind of stuff. So John McCain was sort of the spearhead on this last year when he asked for the flag officers to be reduced and for their staff to be reduced. So this is going to further that oversight of them, and we'll see how that kind of turns out.
I remember when I met my first more than one star general at the Pentagon many, many years ago, I was really impressed that he had a captain or a colonel to hang his coat up.
Right, right.
In the closet there. I thought, that's not bad work if you can get it.
That's right. Yeah. So they have these aide-de-camps, and, you know, and it is a very prestigious job if you're an underling for this general, but it also ends up costing a lot of money for the Defense Department and for taxpayers when they could be going and doing something like cyber, for say, something that's really important to the military right now.
I think this issue has always been kind of a tug of war between the military and civilians. Even during World War I and World War II, generals would, first thing they would do is scout out the chateau they could set their headquarters in,
right,
and live in relative luxury with cooks and so forth, you know, while directing the battles of the troops.
That's right. Yeah. And I actually learned something pretty new. Aide-de-camps wear a sort of a braid on their side that came from the French military to keep their pencil on the braid so that they could write things and they wouldn't lose their pencil.
Well, there's an origin for everything.
That's right.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni. And you said that some service members might see some ease in their credentialing in the NDAA. What is that provision doing?
Right. Well, if you're aware of DOD right now, they're trying to help soldiers and airmen, Marines, sailors, whenever they get out of the military, to have the credentials that they need to succeed in civilian life. One of the things that has been going on is that a lot of people will have, or soldiers will have, their trucking license in the military. They get out of the military and they have to go and do the commercial licensing all over again. This would just make a very small change in the code, and that is that the credentialing that people in the military can get doesn't have to necessarily be for military training, but it can also help them in their civilian life outside of the military. So this gives them the option to go and do other training while they're in the military, while they're about to get out of the military, going through that TAPS situation of getting the credentials that they need while they're still getting paid and not while they're in this strange kind of world of adapting out the outside of the military.
Yeah, I guess if you have a commercial driver's license where you learn the ability to back up a 22-wheel tractor trailer truck in a straight line or make it go left or right, which is pretty hard to do when there's an articulating joint in the middle. If you learn that in the military, you shouldn't have to go to long-term training to do it in civilian. It's the same darn thing.
Right. Then they might just translate over and they would get a commercial license as soon as they're out, something like that, a little reciprocity, something just to help them transition into getting a new job. It can be pretty tough when you're finally leaving the military after a couple of years.
Yeah, I was always wondering about barbers in the military that pretty much shave people's hair off, but then there are base barbers that do a little bit more sophisticated as people move up the ranks. They don't get their head shaved necessarily. I wonder if they can get a whatever barber's licenses are called in the private sector, usually by states.
Well, the boot camp guys might need a little more training, but maybe the guys on base will get some reciprocity.
Or maybe they already contracted out to commercial people that come in and do that.
That could be, yeah.
What a thing to go to barber school for. All right, and to turn people into eight balls. All right, and finally, reporting the National Guard officers are getting some good news on the personnel front. What's going on there?
Right. So this is something I've been reporting on in the past couple of weeks and even the past couple of months now, and that's the National Guard officers are having trouble getting their promotions. So they'll be promoted and
it takes a long time to process.
Right. It takes an extremely long time. So the governors will say, hey, you're doing a great job. Let's promote you. They send it to the Pentagon, and then it takes 6 months or more for them to finally get it back. So what this would do is that this was a provision that was added in the NDAA, and this is something that came up as a separate bill in the Senate and the House. So getting this in the NDAA is extremely important because the NDAA has been passed 57 years in a row. So it's a good possibility that this will make it into the bill. So what this does is it gives the back pay to that officer for their new rank as soon as the governor gives it the okay and they start doing that new job. That way they don't have to fight for this extra pay, even though they're doing the extra work at this point. So as soon as the federal government says, okay, you're good, all the back work that you've been doing, you get paid for it. And then anytime a promotion takes more than 200 days, they have to report it to Congress.
Got it. And
just kind of give it a little more oversight as well.
And we should point out the NDAA passed committee 60-1. So
right.
It stands a pretty good shot in the House.
Yeah.
And the Senate will take it up roughly, what, the week before?
So they're planning on marking it up in I think the 21st, 22nd of May. So, it's coming up soon. And then they'll start their whole process of getting it to the floor.
Federal News Radio Scott Mossione, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.